Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. T-G-I-F-O, and thank God it's Black Music Month here on G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. How you doing? I hope everybody is well today. And, you know, I can't let June go by without celebrating a couple of things. You all already know that. One is National Home Ownership Month, also Father's Day, and some other stuff. But it's also Black Music Month, and this is the time, like, I think her name was Corinne Bailey Ray. Go put your records on. This is the time to do that. And one of the things that you also might want to do, especially since we're getting out and about now, is to go celebrate local Black artists. And one of the people that I came across in my search is a lady by the name of Amy Alicia, who's on with us today. Good morning, ma'am. Uh-oh. She's not on yet. Oh, there. Okay. Amy Alicia is going to be on with us today. And we've been texting, emailing off and on for a little bit. But I came across her and it just was like, wow, you know, things that you miss and you don't pay attention sometimes. And then, you know, you also deal with the familiar in your area. So, but she is, you know, a musician that's located here in Central Florida. And I wanted to talk with her about what got her into the business and how long she's been in it and who inspired her and what she kind of thinks of Black music of today. So I'm looking forward to having her on with us today. But anyway, who's your favorite artist? Who's your favorite Black artist and why? Give us a call. Let us know. The number is 516-387-1944. That's 516-387-1944. Some of mine, well, locally, one of my favorite artists, and I can't go without talking about him, and his name is Willie Bacon. He's a saxophonist here in Central Florida. That's my cousin, too, by the way. But anyway, Willie Bacon has been around for a while, doing a lot of blues and R&B and stuff like that in the area. So he's one of the ones that, I gravitate toward locally. But others, you know, I've been past a big Angela Beaufield fan. Goodness gracious. Anita Baker is another one of mine that I like. You know, some of those, as well as the obvious, of course, Luther, you know. But, sometimes you need to also expand your horizons a little bit. One of my, I guess you could say, alum from the University of South Florida, if you ever get a chance to catch him, he used to do a lot of outdoor concerts in the area. That's Eric Darius, who's also a saxophonist. I'm drawn to those types of musicians, and he's a really good saxophonist. And so Eric Darius is one of those that you need to look out for. So, but in the meantime, we are going to, hopefully have on Amy Alicia soon. The number, like I said, is 516-387-1944. Are you there, Amy? Oh, still waiting for her. Okay. All right. So we're going to take a quick break, going to try to give her some time to get on with us, and we'll be talking to her soon. Like I said, let us know who your favorite, even if it's a local person, that we may not have heard of, because sometimes we just kind of narrow our focus, and I want us to kind of expose some of the local talent as well. 516 387-1944 is the number. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
You, your family, and your friends are invited to
Embrace Richland County Gospel Brunch.
Sunday, June 20th at 1 p.m. at the Wiley Kennedy Family Life Center located at 1034 Eastman Street in Columbia, South Carolina. You can also enjoy it virtually via live stream. It's a great way to celebrate Father's Day with the family. Enjoy soul-stirring gospel music and on-site a mouth-watering brunch. For your safety, we will be adhering to COVID-19 protocols. Get your tickets before May 30th and they're only $15, $20 after that, or you can just simply buy a table. Tickets available only at Eventbrite. Sharing music selections will be international gospel star Luther Barnes and the Sunset Jubilaires, saxophonist Dante Lewis, and Jacqueline Kendrick Dance Ministry.
This powerful event is sponsored by the Wiley Kennedy Foundation
and the great folk at Richland County. You don't want to miss this fantastic celebration, so join us Sunday, June 20th at 1 p.m.
Hi. Thank you for listening to G's Power Hour. I never had a so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Like I said, we're celebrating Black Music Month, and also want to talk about, I guess, the origins of Black Music Month or what it means. Apparently, there was a proclamation, I guess, first inducted, let's see, June 7th, 1979. Well, it says, according to this is the Black Women's Agenda Incorporated. This is some information from there. The month-long observance was first inducted on June 7, 1979, by President Jimmy Carter, and it was Christian Black Music Month. President Obama renamed the national observance as African American Music Appreciation Month. The observance was created to recognize and celebrate the historical influence that African Americans have had on the music industry, and is intended to pay homage to many artists, writers, songs, and albums that have inspired music lovers and shaped American pop culture. So, Amy, are you there? I want to go over a couple of the bios of a couple of the, unfortunately, Black artists that we've lost this year already so far. DMX is one, and Mary Wilson is another that we lost this year. Mary Wilson was born in March 1944 and passed away this February, February 2021. And DMX, and I was trying to grab his name real quick, he just passed away a couple of months ago in April. You know, so like I said, this is a good time to go ahead and grab some of their music and see, you know, just take a listen. There's some others, too. I don't know if you're familiar with a gentleman by the name of Lloyd Price. He was born in March 9th, 1933. He passed away just this past month in May, May 3rd, 2021. So I will try to grab some bios for you and post them on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. You can get a chance to look them up, and if you find any of their music, listen to it, and maybe, you know, share it. If you have a link that you have found of these people, share it on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. So quite a few that have passed this year. There's also some others. There's a site, actually, some of you are probably already familiar with it, Billboard.com. Most of us are familiar with Billboard that do a lot of the rankings. They have a lot of these listings on there. So I'll try to go ahead and there's some other musicians too, but I'll try to go ahead. Bunny Wailer is another one that passed this year in March 2nd, this year. I like I said, there's some that you're familiar with, some that you're not. Grab them and, you know, take a listen to them while you're maybe doing some stuff around the house this weekend. Always good. I mean, a lot of us run the TV in the background just to have some sort of noise in the background. Instead of that, just grab some of this music. And, you know, YouTube is a good place to find a lot of this stuff. Not necessarily trying to plug YouTube. If there's other sites that you know of, you know, share them. But YouTube is a good place. I go to YouTube a lot sometimes when I'm just trying to get some stuff done and just would like to have something nice and soothing to listen to while I'm doing other things. So, or when I want to have my dance party for one, I have a playlist. So I go to YouTube for that. Anyway, we're going to play a little of her music because she has, Amy Alicia has a website, and like I said, I'm going to share that on the web, on the Views Power Hour Facebook page. And then hopefully we'll get a chance to talk with her, you know, afterwards. So anyway, and like I said, share your favorite musician. The number is 516-387-1944. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back.
Started in the whole music scene. I was a little girl. My parents brought me to church. We were in church a lot. So music was centered around church. And I can recall at a very early age of singing in church.
To have a boy like him is truly a dream.
Musically influences, I love a lot of different people. One would be, I love Chaka Khan.
Oh, yeah.
I love Anita Baker.
Yeah, maybe Chaka Khan vibes.
I know, I like that.
Running away with me. It was just my imagination.
Singing, I want the live feeling because live audiences bring life into what you're doing, and it just gives you the emotion, and they feel the emotion that you feel. You can't get that in a box. The music is in a box. I can't take that away from people's creativity,
right,
as far as the electronic side of things.
But it's not like being in a full band.
No, it's not like being in a full band when you get a real bassist or
right,
real pianist, and they're just jiving together, and it's just, you know, just making music and being spontaneous and just improvising. I think that is art,
right,
to what you do and the talent that you have.
Sure.
And I think we're slowly losing that. So
yeah,
that's what I want to do, is continue to bring timeless music and that timeless sound.
So I can't give up. I decided to take a chance and share my heart with you.
Phil, my husband, and I met in 2008, and so I was already singing in Jacksonville, but I never took it to the next level because as a little girl, I was always told that go get a college education, go as far as you can be, the anticipation or the expectation was to have an office, you know, higher education, go to school. I don't think that school prepared you for the future as like they should have to give you a better perspective of what you really want to do. I believe that I think you should do what you love to do and what you're born to do. And you gear your education towards that versus just picking something that will suffice society or the people that you're around. So I didn't do that at first. I just decided to major in accounting. I decided to get a master's in business administration.
Well,
and I was
saying,
it's going to help me, but I feel that I wasted some time instead of, you know, trying to nurture what I feel on the inside when I think.
Right.
And when I hear music and when I do music. It's a challenge for me to write on my feelings. It's easy for me to write a story. I have a person who's helping me currently to take the stories that I have and putting it into a song. So I'm taking my time to do that. We just started in February. So I'm in the process now of writing original material. We're working with someone out of Houston, Texas, a very talented guy. And he's sending me ideas, and we're just putting that process together. My original plan was to, since so many people were asking for music to purchase, I was just going to put together a covered interpretation album that takes some of my favorite songs and just rearranging them to fit me. But I decided to push myself in order to write something that's closer to me, something that's written.
Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. You heard a clip from Amy Alicia's website, amyalicia.com. We're going to post it on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. But in the meantime, we have the artist herself, Amy Alicia. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yes, ma'am. Sure can. Loud and clear. Yeah. So how's it going? I mean, this has to have been challenging, you know, over the past year trying to do live work.
Well, actually, fortunately for myself and the team, we have been actually working since May of last year. A lot of our normal performances throughout the year, festivals and stuff, of course, got canceled, but we are the house band for The Garlic in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, and we have been working ever since May.
Wow, good for you. That is so great. So tell everybody, how'd you get started? Where are you from? You know, how'd you get started? You know, and you know, how have you been inspired?
Well, I am from Jacksonville, Florida, and my parents, of course, was in church, in Pentecostal church, and that's basically where my start began, was in church. Like a lot of artists, they started in church, and that is definitely my foundation and upbringing in church, and from my mom being a singer in church, and I have family members who were also musicians and singers in the church. And then once they found out that I could sing at a young age, and then they put me to work. So that's really where it started.
Okay. And then so who was your inspiration and why?
I would say growing up, because I was not allowed to listen to secular music at that time. Didn't have any control over that. Of course, I, you know, would sneak and listen to it, but for the most part, I wasn't allowed to listen to secular music. But, of course, when you're around other people, you tend to hear all kinds of music. And so I would say my first influences were the Clark Sisters, the Winans, DC Winans,
It was so many back then of different influences. And then as I became older and got more exposed to all different types of music, actually I had an uncle who was a jazz lover. And every time I would go to his home, he would have his smoker jacket on and listen to this music. And I was so intrigued by the music that he was listening to. And so that just opened me up more to discover this world that has so much music and so much to listen to and enjoy and learn from. So I would say that my influences grew after that. Then I went in from jazz, and I started listening to blues, and I started listening to all kinds of stuff. So he was my, I guess he would be that transition for me until I started training classically.
Oh,
and he was not a musician at all.
Oh, no.
He wasn't.
Really?
No, he wasn't a musician at all. He couldn't sing, he couldn't play an instrument, but you couldn't tell because he was a lover of music and definitely jazz music. Yeah,
that's great when
absolutely.
You find someone who doesn't even have those types of gifts or abilities that really can appreciate, you know, the gifts and abilities of others, you know, in that
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you said you were classically trained. Where did you train?
Well, it started out in school because, of course, during that time when I was growing up in the 70s, there were no, like, really outside community, you know, groups or anything other than if you came from church, then you would know there was really not a lot of community things going on that I was aware of growing up. And so it started out being trained through school, and that just grew from there. So I would remain to continue through school. I went to Rebolt Middle School. Actually, it started back when I was in the sixth grade is when I got really intrigued about the choir. And then it just seems like every opportunity that I had to train in that manner, I would do extracurricular type things like training with an outside vocal coach or all those different types of things. And that's kind of how I got started with it. And it just grew from there. And once I got into junior high, that's when it really grew into being able not just to sing gospel music, but to just kind of expand my vocal ability to do all kinds of classical type music. And it just went from there until I went to college. And I went to Edward Waters College in Jacksonville because at the time I couldn't leave the state. So that was they had heard me sing somewhere else and a couple of other schools, and that's just where I chose to go. I really loved their music department, other than, you know, their educational things that they had to offer as far as scholarships and things like that for me. And it just, we just was exposed to a lot of different things. That's when I really start practicing piano. I used to do some things for I was a section leader, so I had to learn piano. I wouldn't play now, but that was a part of what some of my training was. So yeah, that's pretty much it. My story. It's not very interesting, but that's my story.
No, it is. It is, really. Now, would you tour? What areas do you perform in?
Right now, what we do is, since we have been in the Garlic for 7 years, I tend to keep it open to different types of genres. Because for me, my philosophy is a good song is a good song. It may not be what I choose to do every day, but when you're in that type of environment, you have to kind of, you know, go with what works. And at the time, you know, so doing that on four nights a week, I tend to stretch the genre boundaries. So I'll do some smooth jazz like Anita Baker, or I try to do some Chaka Khan. And then we'll go back to the American Jazz Songbook and do some music from there because you have some fans out there who like to hear that type of music as well. So because of the training that I did have, you know, growing up, it allowed me to be able to cross genres. And that's what I provide at the Garlic every week. But sometimes when we have our own show, then I can stretch out and do more of the jazz that I would love to do more of.
Mm-hmm. So how big is your group? Who is part of your group?
Well, I have my husband, who is the drummer, and then Andrew, he's the pianist for the group. And then when we have larger gigs outside, then we bring in Tim Milam, who's a wonderful bassist. And then I have another guy named Tim who plays guitar for us as well. So it just depends on the event. But on a weekly basis, it's the trio, which is Phil, myself, and Andrew.
Okay. Now, one of the reasons I brought you on, as you know, is that this is National Black Music Month and National African American Appreciation Awareness Month. What to you defines black music?
I would say black music to me is soul. Black music to me is a story. There's all kinds of emotions and so much of results that you can get when it comes to black music, because I think that it started when we were in our slavery days and all those things, and our forefathers and mothers, that was one way they could get through all of the trouble that they were going through at that time, being mistreated and just not being considered a human being. So they turned to music, and I think that's what we still have today. So that is a part of who we are. That's a part of our humanity, because we were able to take music and take our struggles or our fears or our joy, and we put it through music. So that's what I say is, and we're not afraid to do that. And so especially when we sing together or we play together, it's just powerful in that moment. So that's what I consider black music.
How do you think it's changed over the course of the years, at least in the years that you've observed?
I think it's changed a lot, because now we are incorporating all types of music. Once upon a time, you wouldn't see B.B. Winans or Kirk Franklin singing with Snoop Dogg. Or you wouldn't see Charlie Wilson sing on the gospel shows. So we have definitely incorporated all the music together to make one voice. And I think that's a wonderful thing, because if you're talking about from the church standpoint of, you know, being able to bring people over to know that God is love, and it's through the music and the life that they live, I think that's a great way to merge the two worlds. And because there are a lot of talented people who are maybe not in church, who don't even have interest in doing it, but they can work together. I think that's an awesome thing. So now we have what we call the hip hop. We have all kinds of different things, because when growing up, I thought jazz was just kind of a straightforward type of music. But now we are just expanding our horizon to express what we feel is jazz, or what we feel is classical, or whatever. I think that's a wonderful thing.
And so no more just staying in your lane, so to speak. I mean, you can
participate
in one area, but you need to share. You're sharing your toys, so to speak.
Exactly. Let me show you what I have over here and how we can join together to make this even more phenomenal. You know, I think that's an awesome thing. Because, you know, as a singer, if you are incorporating other people into your world, you're learning stuff that you probably would have never thought about or never considered in music. And, you know, and sometimes it takes other people to push you into a place that you've never gone. So now black people are more visible now, and that we are free to express ourselves however we want to. No one now is going to stop us from sharing our gift the way we feel it is, our reality.
We're going to take a quick break. We're here with Amy and Alicia celebrating National African American Awareness, Music Awareness Month, Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. If you have questions or comment, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good Friday afternoon, and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are in celebration of National Black Music Month, National African American Music Awareness Month, whatever you want to term it. It's all about celebrating the music. And we are here with Amy Alicia here, Central Florida, a local artist that we really, that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is how much of a challenge it is being a local artist, getting established as a local artist. How did you find that?
I'm so sorry. I muted my phone. I didn't want to make. I wanted to make sure the grandkids didn't come in.
Okay. See, that's that multitasking thing, you know.
That multitasking thing when you're at home, all kinds of things can happen. You know, basically, when I first started singing in the venues or doing concerts and things like that, I think with anything, it's like you kind of have to prove yourself that you're able to do this, to entertain and to sound decent or whatever. And I think the more you do it, the more you put yourself out there, the more you'll get noticed. And like in my case, I'm coming from church to doing the secular, it was a little bit, I would say, intimidating for me. And so I was able to link with my husband, who at the time when I first started, we were not married, and we got married along the way. And he just told me, he said, you know, it's the same process, just a different audience. And sometimes you just have to work at this for quite some time. You show up to where you want to perform and you just keep going. And then you just put yourself out there just like you would a job interview, because in essence, it is a job interview. And so you just continue to show your work. If you have music available, you just show your work and you just continue to go at it. And eventually doors will open. I can't say that it's an easy process, because you have to have some tenacity to keep going. And even though this is something that you feel that you're gifted to do, and this is something that you know for sure that you want to do, you just have to have the tenacity and the willpower to keep pushing. And then eventually those doors will open. It's still a challenge, I think, no matter what, because even when you do get the opportunity like I have, there's still more out there. There's a big world. So I would just say, do not limit yourself to what it's possible. Even in its difficulties, there's a way, there's a lane for you, there's a place for you to go. Hopefully I answered that question.
Yeah, no, That was fine. I was curious, though, in my mind, you were talking about starting in a church and everything, what type of resistance, or did you meet with any resistance when you decided the gifts weren't going to just stay in a church?
Resistance is, it depends on what your upbringing was, is in church, because in the church that I grew up in, it's a total resistance as far as merging the two or being able to leave the church and go sing what they consider secular. That was, of course, that was totally frowned upon. But you have to know within yourself that is something that you were called to do, no matter what it is. It's unconventional, especially if you know for a fact that the church is not the only place for you to perform. And that was in my case, is like, you know who you are, you know what you're going to do. And as I would say, my relationship with God is more important than what the church thinks of what I should and shouldn't do. And so I think just being confident in who you are as an artist, then you can just go on that. I'm not going to say it feels good, but you have to know and be confident that you can push through whatever the setback may be or what people may say. Because if you worry about that, then that's going to be a problem if you're trying to go bigger scale, because they're going to say all kinds of stuff to you. You got to be able to have thick skin in this business, because I haven't even learned it all. I haven't even been all over the world singing like that. I've been a lot of places, but you've got to have thick skin in order to push through this business. Locally and everything.
I wanted to ask you also, too, you started quite young. How were the music programs in your school? And, today it seems to be a challenge to keep quality music programs in the school. How much of an impact do they play on a young musician's, desires and goals to make that a career?
I think that it is very important to have musical programs in school. I can tell you that I think, and this is my opinion, that if I did not have the musical programs in school, it would probably be much more difficult to be where I am now, because you're gaining a lot of things in the program through school. You're developing your musical ability. You're also developing discipline personally. It's a lot of things that those musical educators are providing. Because I can tell you there were some children who was homeless, who was in the program, and they needed that. So for them, for me to hear now that they're taking that away, and not only that, some of the young people are not as interested, I think that is really troubling.
Yeah. Because I know I was having, I can't remember when, but I was having a conversation with someone a while back about, I have a piano, and I was having a conversation with someone that we were talking about, just about everybody, well, I won't say everybody, but a lot of people, whether they could play it or not, had pianos in their house, some sort of musical instrument. And even if you really couldn't play, you knew someone who could come like over the holidays or something like that and come sit down and play for everybody. But, now it's, I know what a struggle it was for me. And my family, we've had a piano in the house. And so mine is kind of inherited. But also I learned how to play flute. Don't ask me to do that now. Okay. But I learned how to play flute when I was in school, okay. But still, it was a struggle for my parents to, maintain an instrument for me to play.
That's the reason why I didn't even have a piano in the home. And I think when I got to be in high school and I
I was intrigued by learning how to play because I thought that's, as a singer, that was important to do. I'm not knowing the different giftings that everyone would have. Even though you sing, you probably can hear this music in your head. That doesn't mean that you can sing or you can play or whatever. Some people did, got both, and some people don't have both. But I was intrigued by the piano, but my parents did not have a piano. I don't know if they couldn't afford it or whatever the case may be, but we just never had it. Even though my mom was a singer and choir director and stuff, but back then you practiced with the cassette tapes or whatever, and you just keep rewinding, going back till you learn the song. You hear it on the radio,
right?
On the radio, and you did all that kind of stuff during that time. So, I can tell you that my parents finally got me a piano. I started taking piano lessons, but honestly, I just wasn't that interested once they got the piano. I would learn the music from the sheet music. I could read sheet music like crazy, but to play it was just so intimidating to me. I think that's what my fear was. It was like, I'll never get this. This is crazy. I'd rather just sing and let somebody else play. But out of the blue, I have a sister. My sister is like, 13 years younger than me, or 11 years younger than me or whatever. And the piano was in the house, and this girl picked up the piano, never took a music lesson in her life, and played by ear.
That is so funny.
And it's amazing. Because you're saying you had a piano, and that's what happened to us.
And the funny
part, we had a piano, and she played.
And
I couldn't play it.
The funny part is, for me, my mom used to tell people, she said she almost regretted the day she started me on music lessons. Because when she had the piano, I would, before I started music lessons, she said I would go and just pick up stuff by ear if I heard it somewhere. Like, she said I learned how to play the wedding march after going to a couple of weddings. You know, sat down and picked up the piano, and the next thing I was learning how to play it. But she said as soon as she sent me to lessons, that was it.
Yeah, you know. I understand that.
I
totally understand it. I told my piano teacher when I did a recital, I was like, I got so nervous, my fingers just started sweating. I was like, oh, no, you got to help me play this. I worked and worked and worked on this song. I could not play the song in front of people. I was like, no, this is not it.
I think for me it was just a repetition. It's like, okay, you need, do this drill. You need to do this drill. Because I've even since taken, even as an adult, started taking, lessons. But it's the repetition. It's the drill. But if you let me just sit for a moment and pull stuff, then I can maybe pull some stuff together,
Right.
I mean, it's all important, though. Like you said, you can read, which is great. That's where I struggle more in terms of the reading. But, the flute helped. Right hand I know really well. Left hand, that's another story.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to ask you, though, in spite of all of the challenges of not having adequate music programs and not having instruments and stuff in the schools and in the community, who do you find, when you look at young black musicians, who do you find to be pretty strong out there that you, stop and take a listen to?
Oh, my God. That's a good question because there's so many now that are just doing phenomenal things.
It's kind of hard because you don't have especially in terms of singing rather than playing instruments, you don't have a lot of people that actually sing, in my opinion.
And
I'm starting to sound
problem.
Like my folk.
And that's the problem. No. I was going to go there. My grandson opened the door and distracted me. But I agree with you on that. It just seems like there is no separation in sound anymore. It's like whatever can be put on YouTube, whatever can be put on Instagram or Facebook to get that initial response. Because I think it was George Benson, if I'm not mistaken, he said that he do the music for the love of it. not for the money and not for the fame. So that's why it kind of worked for him. Like a lot of these people now, young people now, they're doing it for the cars. They're doing it for the instant gratification, the Instagram followers or whatever. You know, they're not doing it like the love of the music and the sound, like you're saying. Like I hear a lot of the younger female singers sound alike. They got that little soft little thing. We say this all the time, almost every week we perform. It's like, did you hear the new song? Like, they came out with that? Because you got to, you know, keep yourself aware of what's new. And so it's like, oh, that didn't sound so good. Or they'll even take an old song like Al Green song or something. They'll turn around and it's like unrecognizable. And that's just like, oh, my God, they didn't do that, you know. But then there are a lot of people that are out there that are really doing good things. That's just not getting the same recognition. And I don't know how that could change because there are a lot of people out here. I get offended sometimes when people say, well, oh, they're just a cover band. But I can tell you from experience, if I could just sing my music, then you wouldn't come hear me. So you have to incorporate in these environments, some of other people's music. And I also heard Aretha say, what's the point in just doing my music when there's all kind of good music out there? I don't mind anyone covering my music. And that's what she said. I think it was on Today Show or something. And she said, I don't mind at all. Matter of fact, she did a cover album with all kinds of stuff. And as I got older, then I realized that other people was doing that all the time. And I was like, well, why are they so hard on people who perform in restaurants and the local shows and stuff like that? We're working actually harder than the ones who are getting that instant gratification, you know? So I think that's just the business side of things and who they feel should be out on front and on TV and on the radio.
Right. But then you do have every now and then you come across, like I was thinking when you were talking, the only person right now, and to be honest, I'm so busy right now that I don't get a chance to listen as much as I used to. But Andra Day is one of those that has a distinct type of voice and style, you know.
Absolutely.
But then you know,
plus she's older too, so
she's
later in
older.
The 30s, so she's not like the younger 20s, 18, 19, 20-year-olds who are trying to sound like each other. She is already – she's like what I've been doing, been working a long time. No one just knew her, but she's been doing this. It's not like she started yesterday.
No, not at all. But
you know what I mean? So she had time to get that growth and that maturity
to craft
to her voice. Like she was already
all the kind
there,
of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. She just happened to be in the right place at the right time.
Exactly, yeah. And so that's, you know, I mean, that's what I'm looking myself. I'm looking for people that when I hear the voice, I can distinguish them. Like you said, a lot of them sound alike. She's one of those that I can distinguish. Anita Baker used to be, you know, one of those that you
absolutely.
Just knew it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And she's still my number one favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, we're going to take our final break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Amy Alicia. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
You, your family, and your friends are invited to
Embrace Richland County Gospel Brunch,
Sunday, June 20th at 1 p.m. at the Wiley Kennedy Family Life Center, located at 1034 Eastman Street in Columbia, South Carolina. You can also enjoy it virtually via live stream. It's a great way to celebrate Father's Day with the family. Enjoy soul-stirring gospel music and on-site, a mouth-watering brunch. For your safety, we will be adhering to COVID-19 protocols. Get your tickets before May 30th and they're only $15, $20 after that, or you can just simply buy a table. Tickets available only at Eventbrite. Sharing music selections will be international gospel star Luther Barnes and the Sunset Jubilaires. saxophonist Dante Lewis and Jacqueline Kendrick Dance Ministry.
This powerful event is sponsored by the Wiley Kennedy Foundation
and the great folk at Richland County. You don't want to miss this fantastic celebration, so join us Sunday, June 20th at 1 p.m.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks for being with us today. Make sure you are with us next week. We have a pretty busy week next week, starting with our stylist extraordinaire, Candace of Be Lavish. But Tuesday is going to be our Father's Day show because there's so much stuff coming up. But Tuesday, we are going to talk to black men raising young black men. That's going to be our Father's Day. Well, one of those men you're familiar with, our civil rights attorney that comes on our show, Kevin Anderson, he is going to be among the men that's going to talk about what it's like to raise a young black man today. Of course, towards the end of the week, we have Tech Thursday with Burton Kelso and Friday in the Garden next week. But Wednesday, we're going to also try to get a roundup of the activities and events that are going on next week, next weekend for Juneteenth. So make sure you're joining us. But in the meantime, we have Amy Alicia on with us to help us celebrate Black Music Month. So how would you encourage someone that has been hesitant about joining, you know, getting into this music, the field of music, but maybe not, they don't have the resources, you know? Where do you start?
Well, now you can definitely start online and kind of find the area that you want to be in, and just kind of asking, like, who do I contact? That's, you kind of have to do your own homework into finding where is the work? Where can I start? Like, if you want to start with vocal training, you know, find out in your local area who is training, who can help you with the performances, you know, entertainment part of it, because entertainment and playing or singing it are two different things, two different areas. So you kind of have to do your, I think, internet, I think looking at your local newspapers, because I know here in Daytona, they actually promote, like, they put in the 360 places that, you know, hiring musicians or the local venues, and just go in and you just have to go and talk to people and just kind of ask the questions. It's one of those things. It's not easy. It's one of those things you have to do your homework. And I tell people that all the time. It's just really what you want to do. You really have to ask the questions and find the answers yourself, because this, in this, especially in my area, it's not as easy to find. Some people may get an agent to help them along. Some people may just know people in the business, other singers, other musicians can help you with that. So that's my advice.
Also, if you haven't been going to church, good time to go to church.
Oh, yeah, good time to go to church. That's right. They open back up again.
Right about that.
You might be able to sing in church and start there.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right. I mean, like you said, just, you know, it seems that that's where the good ones, the great ones, seem to start right there in church, you know?
Absolutely, because it does have a foundation no matter what religion background you are. It just provides more than just the musical training. It also provides all kinds of ways to live the best, even though people talk bad about church, but I think believing, you have to believe in something. And my choice is to believe in God, and that, you know, without him, I'm unable to open doors that have been opened for me. Because fortunately for me, a lot of things that I've had is because I went to that school that had that program and they saw me. Or the teachers, they took to me and just really saw the talent, and they saw other things that could be great in me. And they helped to nurture that all through college. So once you develop those personal skills as well as the musical, then I think God opened doors for you no matter what. Whatever you're destined to do, if you put your all into it and you really focus on that, I think doors will be open.
And I think, too, with church, you kind of start in somewhat of a safe zone or at least a place of familiarity before you go charging out to other arenas, you know.
You're right
place
about
where
that.
You hone your craft and you get, you know, hopefully constructive feedback and everything, and then so by the time
not all the time.
Not all the time,
but I can tell you for one,
but at least
going,
it's a place of comfort or familiarity
exactly.
to begin with
exactly.
before you go charging
exactly.
out into uncharted territory. So.
Exactly, because people don't have that higher power to aid in the situation. So having the fellowship of the church, it does help with being able to go in an area that you're not familiar with. I think that's very important.
Okay. All right. So now, how do we track you down?
You can go to amyalicia.com, or you can find me on Instagram under Amy Alicia. And we try to keep our schedule updated, but but you'll definitely find us every week at the Garlic on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of each week.
All right. And when you're not home dealing with the grands, are any of your grands do they have that music bug?
I don't think so. Not yet.
Really?
Not yet, at least. Not yet. We're still to be determined.
Okay.
But no,
All right.
I don't know. No one seems to want to. My daughters, I have two daughters as well, and neither one of them, they both could sing, but they don't want to do it. They never wanted to. I tried to encourage them to do it, but they just don't want to do it.
No backup for mama and grandmama, huh?
My oldest daughter did do that, but it's not often.
Okay, all right.
So they just choose not to be singers or musicians. They just say, nope, that's not for me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
As much as I traveled with them, I was pregnant with them singing, all of that, church, everything, and they say no.
You would have thought that some of it would have, like, seeped through, you know, traveling
pregnant
and singing.
It did not do that at all.
Wow.
They did not do it. My oldest daughter did sing in church, and she's done a few shows with me. But as far as doing on their own, no way. They say no thank you. I wish they did.
Well, you never know. Sometimes it's just, you know, things change. Sometimes things will hit you, you know, later. So, well,
absolutely, that's so true.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this interview this afternoon. And it's like I said, because you know we know a lot of what's out there. It's easy to find what's out there. I mean, it's interesting how it's so much easier sometimes to find, you know, the musicians that are out there that, you know, the homegrown ones, you know, kind of like a diamond in the rough sometimes. But it's great to have found you, and I thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a great, great pleasure.
All right. You take care.
All right. You do the same.
Thanks. And thank you all for listening. Go enjoy your weekend. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Be well, be safe, be blessed. Join us back on Monday. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
He'll make it all right.